"Get out of my way," said Mr. Jaggers, and we left the man on his knees on the pavement. Now Mr. Jaggers turned to me, and told me that on Monday I would go to Matthew Pocket's house to start my studies. But until then I would stay with his son, Herbert, who lived nearby. Wemmick, Mr. Jaggers' clerk, showed me the way to Mr. Pocket's rooms. He was a short, dry man, with a square, expressionless face, between 40 and 50 years old. His mouth was so wide that it looked like a postbox, and gave the impression of smiling all the time. "Is London a very wicked place?" I asked him, trying to make conversation as we walked.
"You may be robbed or murdered in London, but that may happen to you anywhere, if there is any profit in it for the criminal."
I was not sure whether I looked forward to living in London, where people like Wemmick accepted crime so calmly. We arrived at Herbert Pocket's rented rooms. The building was the dirtiest I'd ever seen, with broken windows and dusty doors. It stood in a little square with dying trees around it. I looked in horror at Mr. Wemmick.
"Ah," he said, not understanding my look. "Its quiet position makes you think of the country. I quite agree. Goodbye, Mr. Pip."
I went up the stairs, where there was a note on Mr. Pocket's door saying, "Returning soon." His idea of soon was not the same as mine. About half an hour later, I heard footsteps rushing upstairs, and a young man of my age appeared breathless at the door.
"Mr. Pip," he said, "I'm so sorry I'm late.